No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world, and pretty excited to announce that we got one of the greatest all-time rappers in this bitch, Jadakiss. How you doing, man?
Feeling honored, man. You know what I mean? It feels like, you know, even I have 20-plus years in the game to make it the No Jumper. Sort of made it, you know, in today's
is that so?
Climate of today, yeah.
Nori told me that he follows me on Instagram about 30 or 40 times during his interview. So, you know, that was unbelievable.
Y'all controlling the population out here, man.
Wait, but so you're tuned in? Are you paying attention to the up and coming rappers and when they come to us, you're sort of seeing that as like them being verified to a certain extent?
I would say, you know, y'all the real deal. You know, before I knew anything about it, the conversation and the praise of No Jumper was like, yo, Kiss, you got a new album rollout. You got to get on No Jumper.
Wow.
And from my son and his crew and, you know, the marketing team, digital, everybody just, I don't care what they make you do, you better try to get on No Jumper. So I'm like, I need No Jumper. And they're like, yeah, we're going to get it. So,
damn,
you know, to finally be here.
That's crazy because for me, on a personal level, I feel like people always ask me, like, who's your favorite rapper that you ever interviewed? And I kind of always go back to Ghostface just because, you know.
Tony Starks is a great one.
The 13-year-old version of myself would have been, like, unbelievably impressed by the adult version of myself getting to interview Ghostface. So that's one I always come back to. I feel like this one, I couldn't mention the Ghostface one without also being like, man, I got Jada on there.
No doubt. That's a blessing and an honor, man. But, yeah, y'all, you know, I'm sure you know the caliber of y'all impact on the culture, but just in case you don't, from my side, it's big shit. It's super,
damn,
you know.
Appreciate that.
It's definitely an accomplishment on when you touch No Jumper and you got a new project out or you're about to drop something or whatever you're trying to do. If you can make it here, you damn near on the right path. More than damn near.
Goddamn.
You're on the right path.
It means a lot. A couple months ago, I'm sitting in downtown Manhattan, and I'm with my assistant Laura and a couple of my guys, and I see a guy walking, getting into a Sprinter van, and I actually said to my friend, I go, look at this dude. He thinks he's a skinny-ass Jadakiss. And then you turned a little bit, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's the real Jadakiss. And yeah. I was actually, like, really clowning the real Jadakiss. Just a little bit, just be like, man, this dude, like, he really looked like he's, like, trying to look like Jada. Like, I was really trying to get my boy's attention. And then I realized it was really you, and I was like, holy shit, he's got a new lease on life. He looks great.
That's funny. Yeah, man, you know, the health thing, we ain't getting no younger, so. And, you know, the older you get, the harder it is to work out or the less enthusiastic you are about working out. So I just try to get a jump on it about 4 or 5 years ago, I say now. Definitely big shout out to my brother Styles P. He's very influential on my whole health makeover and becoming a pescatarian. He's working on getting me straight plant-based, but you know, it's a slow process. You can't go cold turkey on your diet or however you was raised eating. You gotta weed off a thing slow, but I made it to a pescatarian, so I'm working on plant-based.
Styles SP was the first one?
Yeah, he started. He was vegan. He was vegetarian, then vegan, then eventually plant-based.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we got 4 juice bars.
Yeah.
One in Brooklyn, 2 in the Bronx, 1 in Yonkers. Juices for life. If you have in the area, stop through. It's on me.
It's kind of crazy to think how early you guys were on that, whereas now
the whole world is
a lot of juice spots in New York now that you'd been places where you never would have thought you'd see a juice spot.
Yeah. We wanted to bring health awareness to our people, you know, to the hood. There's always a food desert. You go to eat, your choices are usually something bad for you. So we try to put them in those type of spots, give the people a good option opposed to just a bunch of greasy, bad things.
There's so many times in your life where you're like, you're looking at the fried chicken joint and the burger joint and the bodega, and you're just like,
every choice is not good. So
all these choices are weak.
However you narrow it down, it's still going to be unhealthy. But, you know, But that's part of it.
So, like, what is your, allow me to be a fucking health nut here for a second, because I just lost a whole bunch of weight too, and I've been very much focused on the same thing of just completely changing my quality of life and everything. But what do you tend to go towards when you got to eat a meal when you're out in public? Because obviously it's easy when you're at home. It's a little bit more challenging. Dude, when you're out in the streets.
It's carbs, you know. Might get some fries or baked potato or salad or grilled salad or grilled shrimp salad or something for me, since I still eat fish. But it ain't that hard. It's more harder when you straight plant-based. When we on tour, we got to go to Whole Food. We got to do a whole SP, got a whole separate agenda when it's time to eat. So you got Sheik, you got me in the middle, and then you got P. He want to go straight in the forest to get his food. So
wait, so is Sheik still fully?
Nah, Sheik's regular. He don't eat pork or none of that.
But he hasn't gone as far as you guys in terms of really caring about.
He was working out before all of us, so he's always, you know, he's already super brolic. But he does right. He lays off of the things here and there, but he eats freely for the most part.
It's fucking crazy for me because it's like I can divide up my Jada fandom into like different eras. Like it was very much like 97, 96 when we were first seeing you for the first time and the whole big boy or the bad boy era.
Yeah.
And then like 2007, it's like realistically rappers rarely have like a 10-year career span. But then there was like a whole different era, like the Champions Here mixtape and all that shit during that era. And then I get to thinking about the fact that you're still super relevant as a rapper 13 years after that.
It's crazy.
Pretty unbelievable.
Yeah. To have a career, you know, this is like the NFL, this hip-hop industry. Not for long. So you can make a career out of it. You got to be blessed, you know, able to put my son through college, see him graduate psychology, buy my mom a house, blow a bunch of money on a bunch of dumb shit in the early years, you know, but to be a business owner and still going, still financially great is a beautiful thing, is a blessing.
Right, yeah, to have been able to blow that money early in the career and then actually get it back and be able to get yourself right afterwards, a lot of us know that feeling.
Yeah, Mr. Will Smith, he did it. Nobody did it like him, though. He was up, down, up, and then super up. So
that's real. But a lot of these dudes really have to dip into a whole lot of different bags in order to make their career last over the years. Like so many of your peers, when you really think about it, because I'm looking at all the dudes that you had songs with on the old albums and everything, and it's such a large percentage of them either like just aren't really relevant as rappers anymore.
They're
gone, straight up gone, locked up, something like that. Or just people ain't really trying to hear him rap anymore. So it's pretty or a lot of people end up going and doing movies. They end up getting bags in different ways. Mm-hmm. They start separate businesses. Not that you haven't done that as well, but I mean, you're still someone who your fans want to hear you rap. And that seems like that's what you're primarily concerned with.
Yeah, the passion is still there. The fire is still there. I still love music. I still love hearing it. I still love making it. So until I don't feel like that any longer, I won't, you know, I'll keep making it. But when I lose that feeling, I'll push back from the tape.
Definitely. But do you see yourself as someone who is like really a lyricist at heart? Like that's something that you just care about more than the fame or the money or anything else like that? Is that something that primarily appeals to you more specifically than a lot of your peers?
Definitely. I would say that anybody who came in around when I came in would feel that same type of way too. But then there's artists that came after. I would say Drake feels like that. I would say J. Cole feels like that. I would say 2 Chainz. I would say a lot of, you know, Big Sean. There's a lot of dudes that they're very lyrical, but they know how to do, they know how to ride the thin line of whatever today's sound is with lyrics. And I think that makes today's great artists.
Right.
But if you came from when I came from, lyrics overpowered everything, the beat, the hook, the dance, all of that. When I first came, it was lyrics over everything. And then it kind of gradually, the hooks came and the beat. And then when it went to Atlanta, the whole format switched. The beat, hooks, lyrics was last. So in some cases, because you still got T.I. and you still got Luda and you still had Jeezy and all of the dudes, you know, early Three Stacks, you know what I mean? So they did, they found that good line of how to put the formula together. But as it got older, lyrics became more and more the less ingredients in the right. in the music. So,
but nowadays it seems like these kids are competing more on melodies than anything else.
Melodies, sound effects, a dance to it, whatever works. But it's more microwavable now. Mm. And Hot Pockets is probably one of the biggest selling things in the supermarket business. But a meal prepared on the stove by your wife or your mom or your favorite restaurant always tastes better than something out of the microwave.
Right. No,
I mean,
yeah.
So but is I there, compare it like that.
Is there an extent to which you are able to respect the kids who seem like they're more concerned about coming up with melodies and hooks? Which is it's an odd state of affairs, because it's like you making an album in, you know, the late 90s, you probably had producers or labels or Puff telling you that you needed to add more melodies, that you needed to get more serious about the hooks.
Well, these I didn't kids even come want out to gate. Do that back then.
Right.
See, that's also the evolvement in music, because he couldn't force us to do that when it was, you know, the golden era, or when it was them times. You couldn't. We just wanted to rap. He actually had to make us start rhyming less. When we got there, he showed us how to chop it down to 16s. And you know what I mean? We wanted to rhyme a lot. Every time we would rhyme, and we would all want to do 24, 48 bars, you know. And he showed us how to gradually make songs and narrow it, trim the fat, and, you know, start making, creating songs opposed to just rapping. We came in with the first passion to just kill shit, just rhyming, you know.
Because when I go back and listen to your old albums, there's always like a couple songs that I'm like, this is the song and this is the song that sounds like the songs that would sound different if he had been able to just make these songs exactly how he wanted. But then I'm also thinking about the fact that these young kids, a lot of times half the album sounds like that, like sounds like very melodic, very hooky, and they're doing it themselves. Like a lot of times the label doesn't have to tell them to do that. To them, that's just polar sides of the same thing, is they make crazy, aggressive, gangster music, and then they make sing-songy, lovey music. Mm-hmm. And it just happens naturally. They just that to them makes sense. And they don't see it as warring sides.
Yeah, no. That's the sign of the times changing.
100%. So have you totally stopped smoking, or you still got a little bit in you?
Nah, I smoke.
Oh, okay. Heavily?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Okay, what do you smoke these days?
But today and yesterday, I've been smoking, you know. Oh,
okay. I
smoke about a zip a day, you know.
That's impressive.
Maybe more, maybe less, here and there, depending on the weather.
But what do you put it in?
Smoke paper, Fonto, Backwoods.
Switch it up.
Yeah. You know, whatever's available.
That's good to know, because I feel like so many rappers that I love just at a certain point just stop smoking weed, and then you just hear them rap about smoking weed, and you're like, come on.
Yeah, nah, I love weed. Shout out to Cheech and Chong.
Shout out to Cheech and Chong.
They the first people I ever seen with weed, like, you know.
Right.
They should, you know, those dudes are legendary.
Definitely, yeah. I interviewed Tommy Chong, and he's kind of on a different planet these days.
Yeah, I follow him on the gram, so.
He got a lot of memes.
He's ill, yeah.
I don't know how much of those are him. But, okay, when you listen to your older music, what do you think of your voice from, like, 20 years ago? Because it's definitely been a change, like, on this new album.
Yeah.
It sounds raspier than ever, but then you also have, like, the cleanest vocals that I probably ever heard you do on this album as well.
I don't know. A lot of it was like, on the closure, I was crying, so you could hear the. You could hear me after crying, like you could hear my voice cracking because I was crying actually while I was recording it. Mm. And that was that, but I don't know. It's just my voice changing. My voice, you know, it's getting raspier as the years go.
Mm. You ever wonder about what like a 75-year-old Jadakiss voice might sound like?
My granddad was a little raspy too. My pops is raspy, one of my sons, one of the twins, Josh, he got a raspy voice.
He got a little bit of it too?
Yeah, so that's just inherent. That's just in our DNA.
Right. Nah, yeah, I remember, like, as a young kid, I kind of had a little bit of insecurity because I felt like my voice sort of sounded like a Muppet or some shit. And then I just started smoking a lot of weed for, like, 20 years, and all of a sudden my voice sounded a little bit more raspy, and I could appreciate it a
no
lot
doubt.
More.
No doubt.
You know?
No doubt.
Yeah. It's like that. Okay, so this album, like, what in particular has you excited about it? And, like, how is it different?
The most, because it wasn't... It's a dedication to my homie that I lost from colon cancer. So it was a real different process. But what made me happy was completing it, you know, completing the process. And this past week after releasing it, I got nice, long, heartfelt phone calls from both of his kids' mothers, his youngest son and his oldest daughter. They really appreciated the project and told me they listened to it numerous times and cried and loved every song and appreciated me, you know, carrying on his name and his legacy. So for me, it was like grand opening, grand closing. Of course, I would love to stream like Thriller or We Are the World and all that, but of course, that's not going to happen. But for me to complete the project and then his family, his kids' mothers, and, you know, his loved ones to embrace it and receive it and love it, that was good for me. That's all I really set out to do. Of course, you want the people to love it, but it was a really personal project that, you know,
right,
that I made for him and for them. So,
but you lost a lot of people over the years. What was it about him that you really felt you had this much to get off your chest about it?
I never seen it coming. Like, he was one of the healthiest dudes ever. He was a different type of person that was able to always keep his poise, always be the good energy for no matter what type of situation or what type of dilemma we were in. He was always like, it'll be all right, and we're going to get it done. We're going to get through it. Don't worry about it. I got the answer. We're going to figure something out. So I used to speak to him every morning for at least 7, 8, 10 years every morning, get a plan. Yo, you working out? You got to start working out. Yo, this that time you going to the studio, this producers, art shows, your branding, merch, just everything. You would think I was his kid, like how much he was concerned about, you know, my well-being and my career and things of that nature. But then when it hit him, the colon cancer, he didn't want me to know. So whoever was with him fighting, he had them keep me in the dark. So I just thought he was handling things, and I didn't know he was going through what he was going through. So when I finally found out in the office, somebody came to me and like, yo, did you know? And you know what I mean? Then I went and got to the bottom of it. They finally let me go up and see him in the hospital. He wasn't even the same person that I knew. Then the next day or the day after that, he passed away. So after going to the funeral, wake, services, memorials, all that, it still didn't sit right with me. I still needed, it was still weighing on me because I found out at the end, like every people who knew, they was able to go through it with him and, you know, let it go. And I was still like, couldn't believe it. So the only way for me to get it off my back or, you know, get some closure with it was to do the project. And I said, I'm going to name it after him. I'm going to make the cover art, the actual painting. I'm going to do features that he always asked me to do. I'm going to do post-production. I'm going to sing on it. I'm going to do every little thing he would ever be on my back about in the studio that I would always ignore him.
What were the features he wanted you to do?
Pusha. He always wanted me and Pusha to do a song. He always wanted me to work with John Legend. He was a big fan of Dej Loaf's sonicness.
Who sounds insane on your album?
Yeah, she came back with Fierce.
I heard Charlamagne saying that, and I before I listened to the album, and then I listened to it, and I'm like, what the fuck? He ain't not lying. These vocals are crazy.
Dej sounds ill. Ty Dolla $ign, big fan. Just all of them feet, 2 Chainz. He loved 2 Chainz voice, and he loved how he put his bars together, so. Me just trying to do all of that in his name and memory, just felt good once it was complete, and it felt even better once his loved ones, you know, appreciated it to the fullest.
How do you feel about that overall mentality of sort of hiding what you're going through from your friends? Because you sound like you might have been able to process the whole thing a little bit better if you had known about it leading up to it. But as men, you know, it's kind of tempting to like take all your emotional baggage and not share it with other people in your life.
Yeah, for what he did for Rough Riders, for what he did for me, for, you know, how much he lent a helping hand, whether he got paid or not, I just felt like something that severe, I would have loved to help him out any way I could have, financially, just being there or anything. You always need, when you're going through something that's serious, all the help in the world is needed. You know what I mean? And we had a bondage where I thought he would tell me, but the bond we had was so strong, he knew it would hurt me, so he didn't want me to know. Mm. You know what I mean? But when I see him in the afterlife, we got to have a little... We got 5 minutes, yeah.
For sure. It's crazy that he wanted you to get on the song Push so bad, because, like, on that first Clips album...
No, it's me and Styles. All the locks, you know what I mean? We worked together, but he always wanted me and Push to just do a song.
Okay.
Just me and him, so.
But that verse on the fucking Clips album is like probably one of the best verses from Jadakiss of all time. I don't know if you would be willing to acknowledge that, but it's like certain people, when they go to get a Jada verse, might get a standard verse, and I just felt like that was the fucking hella amped up version.
Yeah. I mean, it felt, you know, it was coming from Virginia at the time, you know. That's when the music was different. It was good.
Yeah. And I mean, to a certain extent too, you had to be kind of excited that there was such explicitly cocaine based music coming from a different region.
Yeah, loved
region,
it.
You know?
Loved it. That's right up our alley, so.
Yeah.
That's why it might sound so happy to do that joint. It was an easy record to do.
Like
the beat and the content and texture was what we do.
There's certain bars that just get stuck in your head for the rest of your life. One Jada, my whole life I've been saying I'm about to get a gallon of water, and I say it exactly like you say it, but probably nobody in my life gets that I'm saying it like that for that reason. And actually, I might have forgot as well that
flood
I'm saying
the island with quarters.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's crazy.
You just needed a rhyme at that moment in that song, and you were just, it felt like you just were like, oh, I'm just gonna be completely honest at this moment. I literally just need a gallon of water.
Nah, when I was talking about a gallon of water, it's actually dust juice.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't know you were still on that,
you know,
at that
what
time.
I mean? Nah, I was selling it, not using it.
But still, that was about a little late in your career. I felt like at that point, you probably really, like,
no, but I was just
going
to get it to somebody and let them knock it off. I wasn't actually gonna sell it myself.
Yeah.
I was gonna put it on the island and break it up into quarters.
You never smoked dust? You're too young for that?
Nah, I'm not too young for it. Yonkers is a dust town. It's a bunch of zombies walking around in Yonkers.
Still to this day?
Hell,
they didn't replace that shit with meth and all this other stuff?
Yonkers didn't want meth. They kept dust. They said we're gonna skip on meth and keep dust.
Right.
It might got a little bit of meth, but it's more dust in Yonkers.
Right. That's the weird thing when you're interviewing like Wu-Tang and shit is, you know, all them dudes smoke dust, and I just want to hear some dust stories.
Yeah, the Tikal. That was a little bit before my time. That wasn't my twist.
Staten Island, you know. They're operating on a different level over there.
Yeah, the Bombazi.
100%. But yo, that clip song, this is also another thing that's been stuck in my head my entire life. Jada, the name is filthy. But know what? The motherfucking game is filthy. And you know what? My moms and my pops really did a good job. But it
my
was the
dagger and the cane that built me. You know what I'm saying?
That's just, I don't know.
See, you're good. Listen, you got different type of ears. You know what I mean? And you got the ears that I appreciate. If it was more people that listen like you right now, and be a little more. It would help the balance scale a little. Cause, you know, I've been doing interviews all last 2-3 weeks, but before I came here, I was somewhere and I was telling them about balance. The game, of course, is evolving and dudes are getting money and shoe deals and movie deals and all type of business ventures, but the balance is off a little for for everyone. Griselda is 500 bullshits. You know what I mean? So that's where the T squared, the liquid on the T squared ain't balanced, because they let one thing in like Griselda, and then they flood the gates with a bunch of that bullshit. So
but Griselda,
we could just get a little more balance.
Griselda's so motivational because it's just a reminder that if you stay incredibly true to what you
you stick the course, you know, stick to the course, you'll break the door down, but it's not as easy for them type of groups to
it's a slow burn
to get it like that. But yeah, it's dope. We need to let some more in.
Seeing Roc Nation be so behind them, seeing the industry as a whole support them so much, because realistically, you watch Griselda interviews from a year, 2 years ago, it's like everybody in the media was huge fans of them before it felt like it really started to hit
it connected
the population.
With the world, yeah. But it's, you know, better late than never.
Benny actually called me while I was getting lunch earlier, and I was extremely excited. I'm like, guess who I'm interviewing today?
That's my dog.
He was very impressed.
That's my guy.
Yeah. Is there you've worked with them. You had that one song, Plugs We Met. Could you see yourself working with them on a more serious level? Like doing more songs or even
doing... We in the talks to do some work, you know?
Oh, really? You got a little bit of a smile there. I feel like we could have something good on the way, huh?
Yeah, we won't work. We got something up the sleeve.
Do you ever hear, like, Griselda or any other notorious Coke rappers use a Coke bar that you've pretty much already completely said? And you're like, damn.
I hear a lot of them. I hear a lot. I mean, not necessarily from Griselda, but they probably said something. Everybody. You know?
At a certain point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, after all these years, it's got to be kind
of
tough to come up with it.
Saying it a different way. Everybody's saying the same damn thing. Is who can slip it in with that wittiness. You know what I mean?
100%. So everybody knows about you pushing the album back or removing the song because you were somewhat affected by Pop Smoke's passing. What did you think of him on a musical level?
Thought he was dope. He brought that energy. He had that 50 similarity with 50, but he had that energy that New York needed. Thought he was gonna have a good upside, you know. I thought it was sky's the limit for him, man. It was a very unfortunate, tragic accident, and a big hit for hip hop. You know, I got a son that's older than him, so that's why it hit home, because this ain't what hip hop is supposed to represent, you know. But I blame a lot of people with that. The label, somewhat his staff, you know. Because if you sign an artist that's actively or claiming a gang, you know, to be a Blood or a Crip, you got to put some type of force field around them if you know, this is your new premier artist. You got to be some type of leash there where you letting them be him, but you protecting them. You got to protect them. You know what I mean? And I don't know what happened. I don't know the preliminaries, but I just think he could have been, you know, he's a Crip. He's in California. Beef up the security. Make the Airbnb in a more discreet location. All type of things. You know, when it's your time, but you could try to help it a little bit. We can't just... And in this particular business, when you get successful, you get a target on your back. So you got to move extra courses just off that alone.
Right.
You know what I mean? So...
But do you... The question is really, like, how much do we expect of the labels? Like... To what extent?
A lot. You making them a lot of damn money. They can get you some security, your management, somebody. So it doesn't have to be one person. To collectively get together and figure out something. You can't just, you know, the artist is generating the bread. You're not going to not going to protect the artist.
But in those first couple of years that you blew up, how differently?
Had rough riders. We didn't have the security with Armani suits with the thing in the air that, you know, used to watch the president, but we had Rough Riders protecting us probably better than that. So, you know, it all goes to, you know what I mean? You don't need to see that type of shit happen.
Right. Was there ever like a hard point though where you were like, you know what? I don't want to be standing around the neighborhood at night anymore. It just feels like it's a little too dangerous. Or where you really started moving in such a way that you really want to protect yourself.
You got to move right no matter where. It could happen anywhere. It could happen in Disney World. So it ain't really that. But, you know, the more you obtain success, your life has to change. Your surroundings have to change. Your entourage has to be people that's really there and care about you and not just there for the bread or for the benefits. And, you know, it's going to take some trials and tribulations to really figure it out and trim the fat and get it right. But you got to start somewhere.
Mm.
And also, the quicker you blow up, the harder it's going to be because you're doing it on a whim now.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's all good.
Just figuring it out on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
But there was an old video that I always wanted to ask you about where you're on the blog. It got uploaded about 11 years ago, but you're really upset because somebody drank your rosé.
That's my man. What? It's Mark. It's his birthday today, right? What? It's that dude. That's
that
my
big
man.
Ass white
That's
guy?
My man, White Mark. Yeah, okay. I grew up with him. It's his birthday today, actually. What, he turned 42?
Happy birthday, 42? White Mark, turning 42.
But what happened was we had a tournament on the block. It was a midnight tournament. I put a basketball court on my block, and it was a nice tournament. And we just won the championship.
Uh-huh.
So after all of the madness died down and all that, I had a bottle of rosé that I was going to drink on the crate. And somebody gassed him, Nikki Black, actually. I think gassed him to open the bottle. But I was playing with him, but I was also showing them, you know, it's the principle of things that it's little things in life that could get you hurt. You know what I mean?
Mm. You had a bat in your hand
next day
at one point
there. He came back with another bottle the next day.
Oh, he made it right.
Yeah.
All right. That was a good thing. You still drink much?
Nah, I'm more of a smoker.
Mm. I hear that.
I take a few. If you see the shots I take, they're not even shots. Might drink like three of those in the club.
The alcohol damage you the next day.
Yeah,
you can smoke all you want, you just feel a little foggy the next morning.
Drink water with it, you'd be all right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's real.
A liquor put you down.
Do you, in a weird way, I feel like that second career renaissance I'm talking about, like 2006, 2007, that a lot of that was like very much the Smack DVD stuff, and that we were seeing you really on the block, and it really helped to like contextualize you as like a brand new rapper to us at the time, as just like a young straight fan. I felt like a lot of that Smack shit kind of
come up
exactly. It took a lot of like existing rappers that we already felt like we knew and like kind of exposed them on a different level and made us feel like we knew them a lot better. Yeah. And at that point in your life, it's like you really did not have to be on the block filming for a street DVD, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But you were, and it made it just feel real as fuck to us.
Yeah. I mean, no, that's just the elements, you know? And this game is always a bunch of other elements besides the music and rapping and production that you need to give your career legs, be it doing that kind of stuff, be it whatever it is. But, you know, you're going to have to do some out-of-studio elements to give your career them legs.
Yeah.
Unless you're just one of the lucky crabs in the bucket.
We really thought that you must have been from the craziest hood ever, too, because of the fool shooting the gun in the air.
Yeah, that dude just got... I think he's in jail, or he just got out. He's still in jail, or he went to jail for that.
Really?
Yeah.
For that?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
They came and got him for that. Doing that stupid shit.
Wow, that's crazy. Because I was living in Astoria at the time, and we really did not know it was going down like that, like anywhere in New York. You know, I just hadn't seen the whole shooting a gun in the air thing yet at that point in my life.
Shit. Better than shooting it at somebody.
Yeah, you know, a little bit better than that for sure.
Yeah, but that was the crazy. That was the good old crazy days.
100%. So this is the last album for Def Jam?
Nah.
Not necessarily?
Nah, I don't think so. I think we got some more business to do.
Right.
I mean, I owe another album or two anyway, so.
Right.
I ain't going the athletic route where I just want to renegotiate before it's time.
Mm.
When it's over, it might just be over, but.
Right.
Right now, I still contractually got some business to tend to.
Right. Do you think that Paul Rosenberg leaving is probably going to be good for the building, or do you think that's going to hurt it? Sense of chaos.
My man PR, I didn't really think he was going to be there long anyway.
Oh, really?
No, so much going on with Shade, you know, Shady 4-5 and M's career. That was like a side job for him. Mm. You know what I mean? I seen him too much on his plate with the things he was already involved in before that, so. It didn't really wasn't a shocker to me because I didn't see him being there for a bunch of years, and you know what I mean, got to be too hard to monitor one of the biggest artists ever and be the head of Def Jam. That's too much for anybody, and to have a family with kids and a wife and like, go crazy.
Would you ever want a job like that?
Yes, for a short amount of time too.
Mm.
I get in, give everybody I know that rap a deal. And then soon they gonna call me, you know, the head guys, Vivendi and them is gonna call me and say, "Yo, Kiss, what you doing?" Nah, but I think they need some of my type of dudes to be some of these executives. Me and Jim Jones and
right.
Styles and some of the dudes that really know the ins and out of, you know, been through the chambers of this game to help some of these new artists navigate. You know what I mean? I think it would help.
But could you imagine yourself putting on a suit every day and going to office? Is there a
sure,
part
I got
of you
no
that...
problem with putting on a suit. I right. like suits. Let me get a corner office. Let me do that same bullshit they do.
Right. You can see. You think you could like actually enjoy that like lifestyle though? Like waking up early, putting a suit
yeah,
on.
Yeah, they know. From how I'm seeing them do it, I think I could do the same shit.
Mm.
And I think I could do it better than some of them, than a lot of them.
I mean, that's always the question.
I was an artist. It's yeah. like
who knows
it's
more
like
the artists.
It's like the analysts on TNT. Besides Ernie, they played the game. So it's you know what I mean. How many executives were actually artists? Or you know, this is a game that goes off who you know. Oh, now I'm running the company. Now I know you. Yeah, that's your job. Just do this. Take that office right.
Right.
So that's still. It's not like that all the way, but it's still somewhat. That's all around the world happening.
Do you think that the Def Jam brand name still holds weight like it did at a certain point many years ago? Do you think that the fans still care?
The logo and the name is going to be strong forever.
Mm.
It's just the tightening up the transmission of what makes the most best label in the world is because of the way it was ran and how it was, you know, pumping out hits and making artists doper. And, you know, now it's working, but it ain't the same.
It ain't the same. You want to know another Jada bar that's been stuck in my head for a couple decades?
Sure.
I'm in the hood like them little motorcycles.
Yeah, you remember them things took over for a minute?
Yeah, I mean, you said that line like almost that like the week that I noticed. Like,
yeah.
Damn, them little motorcycles is everywhere this summer.
Everybody
you just
was
hit
riding
us with
them
that
things,
line.
Man. I knew that would resonate because I was just riding around the city seeing them things everywhere.
Right.
But, yeah.
You probably had a line too, like I'm in the hood like them hoverboards. I mean, 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, they took over that? Too. I was too busy busting my ass riding.
I seen a kid on a hoverboard in the hood the other day, and I was just like, damn, I thought that was over. I did not know that was still going.
I gave all mine out. I gave them to my nieces and nephews and kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. There was like a whole era where there was so many rap lyrics that were like, I'll hit you with a gun the size of blank. You remember that era? It was like
Little Bow Wow.
Yeah. I hit you with a gun the size of a sub from Subway.
And all
I forget if you said that. It might have been Cassidy. Somebody said that.
No, I ain't say that. That was definitely not me. A gun the size of a sub from Subway.
Or you pull up in a car the color of.
Yeah, we
there's a lot of that.
We really was at the helm of that. the car's the color of something was, we came in doing a lot of that.
Because that's really like, you guys are like such leaders in the field of punchline rap, that then that's the kind of stuff that up and coming rappers hear and just sort of melts into their brain. And then they sort of just end up sort of regurgitating punchlines, like actual clever punchlines that they heard earlier in their life.
They use them. They use them again.
And they just regurgitate it to the point to where it don't even matter anymore.
I agree.
That's real. And then one more. Oh, man, this is so bad that I keep doing this, but this is another one.
No, it's good. This is it. I'm here. I can stay here all day. If you,
No, you know what I mean? That's totally fine.
Don't mind me. We can reschedule some things, man. I'm at No Jumper, ma. I made it, ma.
I had a bitch named Superhead. She gave Superhead. She moved in the building.
I can drink this?
Yeah, of course. She even gave the Superhead. I've said that line to so many fucking people who don't know what a superintendent is. I don't know if that's a thing out here, or am I just around rich people now? People don't really got apartments like that.
They don't
like
know who's super. These people the super. That never had a super.
Everybody says landlord, which they say landlord on the East Coast, too.
Oh, I mean, landlord, you're right. I grew up hearing both of them. I always thought they were the same thing for me.
Right. No, but that was a beautiful era.
That was a good one. she actually got Corinne Steffens her name. So she said she took that them bars and got her name Superhead off that. So I'm glad I was able to help her.
Helping elevate females at that time in your career was a different time.
Yeah, that's a blessing without knowing. You did something.
I know you're at a different point in your life, but how do you feel about how the game has changed in terms of all these girls who are out here? Everybody got OnlyFans. They got the Instagram photos are just so unbelievably manicured.
It's crazy. It's crazy, but I ain't mad if you able to create a revenue stream for your family and yourself and your kids, you know, without actually going out hurting nobody. If you can alter some pictures and throw them up and whatever you got to do to put booking info in your bio.
Right. When you
may
see
the
that,
Lord bless you.
When you see booking info, just, what do you think that means?
It's like, that became inevitable now. Anybody who looks halfway like something, if you just look at the bio, it says the booking info. Like, book you for what? What are you? What are you? It works, I guess. Don't break it.
You never got to that point, though. Everybody always talks about how New York is such like a crazy strip club bartender culture and shit. Did you kind
not
of
right, not right
you
now.
Avoid New most is, of that?
I went to the strip clubs, but being around the world, the best strip clubs was never in New York.
Oh, really?
Never.
That's interesting.
Even when it was at the highest, even when New York club scene was really, really rocking, the strip club scene was always just, it was cool. It was never like Miami or Atlanta or Houston or none of them type of places.
Yeah, because they can't get naked and shit. It's they got leotards on.
You go to the strip club in New York, they got on long johns, everything, swim trunks. No, I mean, that ain't the same thing as, that ain't like going to Miami or Atlanta.
That kind of makes sense to me because it's like, now when I go to downtown Manhattan, you go to downtown, yeah, they got board shorts on. You go to downtown Manhattan, it's so many cops. It's like, I don't think there's anywhere else on earth that you're going to see more cops than when you're in Manhattan.
Facts.
So it kind of makes sense to me that when you go to the strip club, that the girls have more restrictions on them there than anywhere else in the world. That kind of, it adds up to me. It sort of hurts, but, you know, it seems very New York in a way.
And then there's no liquor. Oof. There's, you know, the rules is crazy, but hopefully we get some laws passed or something and elevate the strip club scene in the city.
That would be amazing, but who's out there fighting that fight, you know? We're alone. It's just us.
We're alone.
What's the good life for you at this point? Like, what are the things
chilling
that you want to emphasize?
Kids, man. Chilling with the kids, seeing them smile, running around, and Dave and Buster's trying to win tickets and points and win them some things. And, you know, going to school plays, going to parent teacher, just stuff like that.
You ever walk in there to do the parent-teacher conference and, like, every other dude who's sitting there waiting with his kids just realizes it's you and it's just a thing?
Yeah, I get them stares and what's ups and... No, I get that. But I try to not be kissed when I'm with my kids. I'm Daddy or I'm Jason, you know. I try to keep that balance I was telling you about. When I'm at work, I'm kissed. When I'm home, I'm Daddy and Jason. So, you know. Gotta always ride the fine line.
It's like when you're in the crib long enough or when you're not around that element long enough, and then all of a sudden you just plunk yourself into an environment and you almost kind of forget that you're popping for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I had that happen to me the other day where I was in the crib with my girl for like 2 days. I walked into Starbucks looking so terrible. And like four fucking teenage employees at the Starbucks just lose their mind on me. And I'm just like... Right. Like, I just literally forgot.
Oh, yeah.
Forgot anyone would give a shit about me here. That's amazing. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird line to walk. But does it ever feel like you're walking away from the family stuff and having to go do this kind of stuff or go do the rap stuff? And does it ever really feel like, damn, like maybe this just doesn't necessarily feel the same way that it used to for me? I got to go out and put my rapper hat on.
Nah, I'm good because it ain't, you know, I balance it well.
Mm.
And then if you're away too long, you just fly the family in, you know what I mean? And so you don't lose too much touch, you know?
Mm.
Let them enjoy some of the demographic of where you at.
100%.
To work it out.
Definitely. You still do the crustless pizza or crust-only pizza, sorry?
I actually just had a few.
Really?
On the ride over here.
So you guys are used to seeing this?
Yeah, because they eat the other... They eat the other part. Yeah, they eat the cheese in the rest of the middle part of it.
Because that logic of, like, the cheese is bad for you, so I'm just going to eat the crust, it's kind of interesting.
No.
I mean, if you just like it, it is what it is.
The cheese is too much.
Mm.
I didn't start off like that. I love pizza, but, you know, dairy's not really good for you, so.
I cut pizza out altogether.
Try to lay it, you know. They got it with the sauce and arugula. You should try it. It's fire.
Oh, really?
I like it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's mainly the carbs that are an issue for me.
You're a carb watcher. That's good. Yeah, I'm on a nice core carb watch out myself, too.
Right. You ever go hit the bar anymore?
Yeah. I got my trainer with me. He downstairs in the giant bartender, the bar father.
He's one of the bartenders, though?
He's the head bartender.
Oh, shit. Okay.
He's with me downstairs in the car.
Because I met them in 2007 in the Styles P Blow My Mind video.
Yeah,
which
giant. He was there.
I rode a BMX bike in it, and that was the first time I think I was ever around rappers.
Yeah.
So even just seeing like Styles like smoking a blunt, I think he took the blunt and like put it out in a napkin to come out and do a scene. And I'm like 21 watching that, just like, oh my God, that was so sick. He had a blunt. He put the blunt out so he could go rap.
Put it in the napkin.
I remember losing my mind over the video girls too, and even like the photographer was just like, they ain't shit, don't worry. In retrospect, he was probably right. But anyway, everybody gotta go listen to that album.
Yeah, Ignatius, man, is out right now. Great body of work. You know, listen to it, absorb it. It sounds like nothing out there. That's why you should listen to it even more.
Give Jada his flowers. Go out there, stream that shit.
You heard the man. No jumper, I made it, ma.
Jadakiss, No Jumper.
Thank you.
Coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Like, comment, subscribe. NoJumper.com if you want to support.